The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. And you know, we are endeavoring to teach on the parables. Jesus was a great storyteller. And I think we can learn a lot from the example of Jesus. I want to pray right now. Thank you, Lord, that you have taken the most elementary things and given us stories so that we might understand such wonderful eternal truths and that we might progress in the school of wisdom and knowledge of our great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and of the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to teach us again this wonderful Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, amen. And as I was putting together these series of sermons on the parables, it came to me that, just think about the language of the scriptures, how that Jesus was called master, teacher, rabbi, and how actually the name of his followers was disciples. Today we would say students. His students, the ones that he surrounded himself around, they learned from his lips the divine principles that will enable anyone, whether young or old, small or great, to become a successful Christian and someone who will be prepared for his coming when he comes again. And the parable that we're going to talk about today is called the parable of the sower. It is in Matthew chapter 13, if you want to go to your Bibles. Matthew chapter 13. And I've put the microphone on because some people cannot hear me. I found that hard to believe. I usually think that I'm quite easy to hear, but apparently some of you have problems hearing me. So I am wired for sound today. Matthew chapter 13. And beginning at verse 3, and it says that, "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow." Parables are stories. And a lot of people like good stories. You tell a story and sometimes people can remember it far beyond past the time that you have told it, and they think about it, and so Jesus told stories, and he starts this one. He says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, and some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them, the mass multitude of people, why do you speak to them in parables? And that is the question this morning. Why does God speak to them in parables? Why does he speak to us in parables? Because it is for us to understand. But he says, they won't understand. I speak to them in parables, he said, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. What a privilege it is to sit at the feet of Jesus and have these wonderful stories explained. Not everybody will grasp them. Not everybody wants this that we have. But here we are in this place, which has been set aside for the learning of the gospel. In fact, this is a modern-day equivalent of the synagogue. And the synagogue is where the Jewish people would come. And you know, they have a word called shul, which means, it sounds an awful lot like school to me. But they came and they learned, they studied the scriptures, and the rabbis would interpret them and give dissertations and help them understand the meaning of the scriptures. And we are in school today. We are learning the principles of the kingdom of God. It's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand and with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. See, the seed is sown to pique the interest or curiosity of the hearer. He tells the story. It's kind of like throwing bait out to the fish to see if you can get a bite, to see if people will be interested enough to want to come in and get closer and hear the rest of the story. And those that are his disciples are here to hear the rest of the story. And that's why Jesus says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So if you've got ears to hear, listen today and see what Jesus is trying to say to everyone. The seed is sown to pique the curiosity, and thus, no matter who hears it, even those by the wayside, which we will get to, here is an opportunity. They have the opportunity to hear. But because they do not immediately grab a hold of the thing and try to understand it, they get distracted and kind of move away from it. That's how the birds come along and snatch it up and take it away. That's how the enemy may snatch it away, but it is given to us first. Just because we do not understand it the first time we hear it, that's no excuse. We can go and hear it again and again until we understand it. We need not stay by the wayside. Now, I understand this because I've taken up courses in Aiken Tech where I am learning something that I did not know before, and it is called algebra. I didn't take any algebra when I was in high school. I dropped that like a hot potato, because when you're young like that, you just want to get through school the quickest way possible with the least amount of effort. I didn't want to drop out. I wanted to graduate, but I just didn't want to put the effort forth to learn some of these hard things. So years and years rolled by, and I decided, I think I should learn algebra. So I am taking an algebra course at Aiken Tech, and it is hard. I mean, that doesn't make sense. Why should I go through a long, drawn-out exercise just to come to the solution at the end of the two or three pages of work that there's no solution? And sometimes that's the right answer on the test. There's no solution to this problem. That don't make sense. Of course, if you're in high school and you've got 40 years ahead of you, perhaps, then maybe you can waste your time going through these problems like that. But I'm running out of time here. I can't waste my time on problems that have no solution. But what I'm doing is I'm learning algebra by studying and studying and studying and studying and doing homework and doing homework and doing homework and doing homework. And I have managed to get a C in college algebra. Well, that's spectacular. Because to get a passing grade, when I had to go to the library, to the dictionary, to look up the word algebra to begin to understand what the word meant, let alone understanding how to do it. But I'm going to get to what I'm talking about in a minute. So I worked away and worked away and worked away. And I don't stop doing my homework until I get 100% on it. And I've done 70 hours of homework and quizzes and practice tests to get a C. And my instructor says to me, he says, there are children in this class, and that's how I look at them because they're just babies. He said that most of the people in the class have only done 10 hours of homework. And I said, I'm doing 70 hours. But the thing is, I want to learn. And when you want to learn, you will do the homework. If you want a passing grade, then you got to work and work. Now, some people are geniuses, and they don't have to work or nothing. And they just get in there, and they get 80s and 90s. They'd get 100 if they would work. But that's their problem, not mine. And then if you work and work and work, you will learn. Jesus tells us these stories. And he talks about people who have hearts that are kind of like by the wayside. They're here, but they're just catching snatches of it here and there. They're not really that interested. And really, they'd rather gossip or talk to somebody next to them or complain that something is wrong here or there, when they should be listening to the lesson and taking it in. And so they're half-hearted listeners. They catch the gist of what is said, but take no time to think about it, and they soon forget it. Now, I study and study and study, and I forget. And I keep getting the question wrong, and I keep doing the question over, and if I get it wrong again, I'll do it over, and if I get it wrong again, I'll do it over, until I get 100% of my homework. And that's how I'm learning algebra. If you want to be a Christian, if you want to succeed in the Christian life, you got to work hard at it. There's no room in the kingdom of God for lazy people who have nothing better to do but gossip and criticize and not pay attention when they could be learning the principles of eternity, of eternal life. Jesus is coming soon, and he left us and he said, make students of all. And that's discipleship. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, listen to the lessons that's being taught. Take them in. If you don't understand, take the test over again. Study it again until you get it right. By the wayside. Now, these by the wayside people, they may attend church regularly, but they get very little out of it. Because they put so little into it. And if you're going to learn algebra, you've got to put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in order to just get a C. And there are some of them that have put that 10 hours of homework and got 50%. So you can teach an old dog new tricks, but the old dog's got to work hard at it and hard at it and hard at it. You can learn how to be a successful Christian if you don't give up, if you'll just dig in and get into your lesson book and study and pray and get tutoring. I get tutoring at school because I need someone to explain things that don't make sense to me so that I can get the right answer. Sometimes you can read this Bible and say, this don't make sense. But I'm going to do it anyway because I trust in the teacher. I trust the author. I trust the one that has put the lesson together that if I do what he says, it'll work out. And understanding will come later. I must learn how to do the right thing. Practice doing it, whether I understand or not. I mean, this turning the other cheek business is hard stuff. If somebody slapped me across the cheek, I'd like to get something and wham them back. That makes sense, but turning the other cheek. And what's this about esteeming your brother and your sister better than yourself? Oh, we're all supposed to be have a good self-image. We're supposed to... Oh, no. The kingdom of God is looking out for the welfare and the benefit of your brother and sister, and somehow that seems to make you work out okay. It seems to bless you when you are blessing others. When you are selfish and self-centered, then nothing seems to ever go really right. And I know that even when people do the right thing, sometimes it's Murphy's Law prevails. But I'm much happier and I have more peace of mind if I know that I've done my best to be the best that I can be. And God is smiling upon me, and I feel the blessedness of the peace of God which passes all understanding. I don't have to understand the peace of God. I can just enjoy it. So I don't want to be a wayside listener. Now, there are other places too. There are those that, it falls among stony places. And some people, they hear the gospel and they're pretty happy about it. They think, this sounds pretty good. I think I'll join this bunch. But then things start to go wrong in their life, Jesus said this. He said, he that has the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yeah, this sounds like a great life. Look at the healing and some people get their lives straightened out and they have happy homes again. And, this is great. I think I'll join that bunch. But yet he has no root and he endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of this, they're out, they're gone, they're like a shot. I didn't count on persecution. I didn't count on not being popular or people not liking me. I didn't count on all this criticism and all this. Oh, no, and they're gone. Well, then there's the other ones, among the thorns, the people that, it says, among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word. And he becomes unfruitful. Some people, they get just enough religion to kind of soothe them a little bit, and then they get all wrapped up in the world, and it says they become unfruitful. They get choked out. And I don't want to be an unproductive Christian. I want to benefit somebody. I want people to come and be able to come to me and get something from me that's going to nourish them and help them and encourage them. That's the fruit that people pick off your life. If you have a joyful countenance, if you're a comforter person, if you're kind of a person that gives and helps and tries to make life easier for those round about them rather than difficult for everybody else, that's the fruit that the Holy Spirit will allow you to present to the world. And so but these people are unproductive because they're so wrapped up in their riches and the cares of the world. Let's not get all careworn. Let's not get all wrapped up in the acquiring of things. It's okay to provide for your household. It's okay to try to make life as easy and as comfortable as possible, but let's not dig down too deep in this world. We want to be able to leave at any moment and not regret something that we left behind. And so these people are among the thorns. And the good ground, oh, yes. Every one of us can become good ground. Even if we've been a wayside person, even if we've had a stony heart, even if we've allowed the cares of life, it's not too late yet. We're still in school. You're still being taught. You still got hope. You can change the kind of a listener that you are. You can stop being a wayside listener anytime. You can stop having the stony heart and begin to get that ground, that your heart, start tilling it, start digging deep and start getting in, get interested in being a successful, happy Christian, because nothing will win souls to the Lord better than successful, happy, bright individuals who love the Lord and who love going to church, and that piques the curiosity of those around about us, and people will want to be like you. Do you want people to be like you right now the way you are? if there's something in your life that says, no, 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 I wouldn't want somebody to do this or live like this, well, okay, straighten up, fly right, let's get going, let's get with the program. You can do it. You can become the happy Christian that you are meant to be. You can be successful. You can be a soul winner, because this is what it's all about, winning souls to Jesus, showing them the way by our life's example, trying not to, as I said in the Sabbath school class, this is a wonderful book. Let's not just cram it down people's throat in a whole piece. Let's give it open and let's eat little bits of it at a time, and everybody will grow at the rate they're supposed to grow, and if we can keep our tongues and just, you know, feed people, nourish them, and some of them are going to grow at a different rate, and some of them are going to have to do lots and lots and lots of homework before they understand. And we got to bear along with these folks. And no matter if they don't get it the first time, teach it to them again. Give them tutoring. And if they get it wrong, keep on teaching the true thing. People will get it. But it takes effort. Each one of us must want to be a Christian. Must want to succeed. Must want Jesus to come. Must want to win souls. That's what being a Christian is all about. And Jesus always said something like this: if you have ears to hear, hear. Are you listening? Do you hear me? See, my father used to say, you don't listen to me. And I would say, oh yes, I understand every word you say. But that's not what my dad meant. He meant, you're not doing as I've taught you. I've told you over and over again to do it this way, and you go and you do it that way. What is the matter with you? And I still sometimes am guilty of same type behavior, because I'm stubborn, because I think I'm right. And sometimes I need correction just like everybody else. And more than often is I'm doing it the wrong way, but because I'm stubborn, I just keep on doing it the old way. It's time to allow yourself to be cultivated, to be instructed, to be told. You need to be told sometimes. I need to be told sometimes. And I have to swallow my pride and say, yes. And then begin to do the right thing. Yes, it's not too late. You may be as old as the hills, or as young as that little anthill that just sprung up there. You might be that young. But it's never too late to get it right. Do the homework over and over and over again till you get 100% in your homework. You may not get 100% on the test, but you might get a C. And some people aspire for A's, and I aspire for A's. But if the best I can get is a C, let me be thankful for the C. I want to make it, don't you? I want to get to heaven. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. And by His grace, I'm ready today. I want to be ready tomorrow. I always want to be ready. And I want to bring some people along with me and say, look, Jesus, look who I found for you. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? I just want to do it. You know, I like the way Jesus teaches. But these teachings, these parables were made for us. It wasn't made for the people out there. They're not interested. But if we can get it right, if you and I can begin to understand these principles and begin to do them, then we may pique the curiosity of the outsiders. And they may say, what is it that you have? You look like you're a pretty happy person. And then, is there something wrong with you? When somebody sees you smiling, the first thing they say to you, what's the matter? You walk into a room with a big smile on your face, they're not going to say, oh, what's right? Oh, what's good? They'll say, what's the matter with you? Let them say that about you, because you're smiling, you're happy, you know where you've been, you know where you are, and you know where you're going, because you're studying your algebra until you get it right. Study this. Pray over it. Get tutoring. Ask people. And be patient with those who have not reached your state of perfection. Because some of us teachers get to feeling like we're here. We're there. We are not there. We are still students. We're still learning. We still need admonition. We still need patience. We still need mentors. And as long as I live, I must remember that I can be corrected. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us wonderful stories that illustrate how we can be the kind of people that you want us to be. You said to your students, "Follow me." Many, many times you said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," or just "follow me. Listen to me. Do as I do, do as I say." Oh, if I could only say those two words in the same breath, that would be a great accomplishment on my part. If I could say, "do as I do and do as I say." Sometimes it's just better they do as I say. Lord, help it to be that we become more followers of you, that we might lead souls into your kingdom, and that we might have that said to us when you see us and when you give us that great big hug and say, "Enter into my kingdom, my good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.